Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You know that place where all the children are above average? Sorry, Prairie Home Companion fans, we're actually not talking about Lake Wobegon this time. We're talking about American universities. Because since 1990, the most commonly awarded grade at four-year colleges has been, you guessed it, an A. Grade inflation. It's rampant and still inflating. But that's not the reality everywhere. Boston University has spent years cracking down on inflated grades. Same thing at Princeton. Wellesley College started cracking down on grade inflation about a decade ago, and now economists have dug into the data to find out what impact grade deflation has had at Wellesley, and they've found some interesting outcomes. Akhila Weerapanna is a professor of economics and co-author of a new paper about what has happened at Wellesley when it stopped giving out so many A's. The paper appears in the current issue of the Journal of Economic Perspectives. Akhila Weerapanna, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So listeners, if you think grade inflation is a problem and that schools should crack down on it, or maybe not so much, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet with your thoughts on grade inflation at Radio Boston. So Akhila Weerapanna, first of all, let me just ask you for a tiny bit of background here. Back in 2003-2004, what specifically did Wellesley do to roll back the number of A's given out?
So Wellesley adopted a policy that said that in 100 and 200 level courses, which are introductory and intermediate level courses that had more than 10 students enrolled in them, the average grade could not be higher than a B+. This was a rule which didn't have sort of very stringent enforcement in the sense that a professor was free to give a grade that was higher than that, provided that they then submitted an explanation to the dean saying something like, this was an extraordinary group of students who received a higher grade than the policy would say that they should.
Okay. And so what kind of, in the interceding or the following, I should say, 10 years, what happened? I mean, did most professors who were teaching these courses follow the new guidelines?
Yes, they did follow the new guidelines, even though, as I said, the enforcement wasn't mandated. And grades at Wellesley in those departments whose behavior was affected by that policy fell by about a half of a plus or minus in terms of how we think about grades in colleges.
Okay. And what was the reaction, I mean, from students?
So the students obviously did not initially react to this with great enthusiasm. The phrase grade deflation is thrown around. As an economist, I always correct them and say it's not deflation, but disinflation. We're trying to keep grade inflation under control. But I do think that one of the changes that has happened in Wellesley is essentially changing the norm, right, and changing the culture of what grades are at Wellesley. And I think that over the years, students have engaged in a lot of dialogue on campus and with faculty about what this policy means, and it has become part of who we are as an academic.
Okay, so what does now at Wellesley, what does an A mean versus what it meant before 2003-2004? Because that really is at the heart of the matter. It is an evaluation system for students. A lot of people would say that we have reached a time where an A in some of these colleges and universities is virtually meaningless.
That's right. So I think the legislated definition of an A at Wellesley was that it should be awarded to a student who demonstrates sort of excellence in their learning or mastery of the material. And I think that that is the change that we have tried to bring about, is to sort of say that the use of the A has decreased pretty dramatically. If you look at our paper, one of the things we show is that professors conformed with this policy by reducing the number of straight A's given quite substantially and sort of receiving a grade of an A now has, if you want to say it, more meaning or more signal than it used to have.
Has that had an effect on sort of equalizing departments between majors, for example? Because I know there was a concern that students might have been staying away from the sciences, where fewer A's were just given out even before this new policy.
At Wellesley, as in many other institutions there, along with the phenomenon of rising grades, is this sort of difference across departments. And it is certainly true that what we show is that the adoption of this policy did have impact on students' decisions to take courses in the humanities and major in the humanities, in the sense that we see some decreases in both of those, in both enrollments and majors. The movement hasn't been necessarily towards moving from the humanities into the hard sciences. I think, sort of, if you think of economics as sort of the in-between stop along the way, sort of a quantitative social sciences probably have picked up most of those.
I see.
Enrollments.
So you, just to be clear, you weren't seeing a lot of people going from English to
physics.
Biology or physics, yeah. For example. Okay. There's another interesting finding that you published in the paper, and that is students weren't as happy with their professors under this new policy, that student evaluations of professors changed.
Yes. So this has been a very popular anecdotal reasons in among professors, that your grades determine your evaluations, but that's always been hard to test empirically, because you teach your class well, students enjoy your class, they will give you, you know, high ratings, get high grades. So there's a correlation between grades and evaluations, but it hasn't always been easy to tease out what the causation is. And we provide some evidence here that when the grades fell as a result of this policy that was adopted at the college level, there was an impact in students' rating of professors. And if you kind of transform students rating professors into that same 4-point grading scale that faculty rate students on, the negative impact is actually quite similar. Interestingly enough, student evaluations of faculty fell, you know, by about the same rate as faculty evaluation of students.
Are you saying that the new grading scale was a cause of that?
I don't want to go that far, because for it to be truly causal, I think you would have to say that the only thing that changed was the grading system. But it is also true that when you have a grading policy like this, it could influence the way that faculty teach their classes. It could influence the way that faculty structure their assignments. And those things could also play a role in how students perceive the effectiveness of their faculty member. It's not just that you kept everything else the same and just changed the grade, and right?
So it's not a perfectly controlled experiment.
It's not a perfectly controlled experiment. And also the other reason is that we, for privacy reasons, we can't connect the individual evaluation of a student with the grade that she received. All we have is the average evaluation in the class and the average grade given in the class.
Okay, but nevertheless, you found a strong correlation.
We did find a strong correlation.
Listeners, we're talking about what happened at Wellesley College when it stopped giving out so many A's. My guest is Akhila Weerapana. He's a professor of economics at Wellesley and co-author of The Effects of an Anti-Grade Inflation Policy at Wellesley College, a new paper out in the Journal of Economic Perspectives. We're going to bring another voice in this conversation in just a minute, but I first want to take a call. Bruce is calling from Peabody. You're on the air, Bruce.
Thanks. So obviously we haven't heard the conclusions yet, but I just want to talk about the concept of unilateral disarmament. Have you looked into, if a school unilaterally decides to do this, would the kids be hurt when they go to apply to grad school against kids from schools that have not deflated grades?
Bruce, thank you so much for your call. Akhila Weerapana, this is actually one of the reasons why I believe it was Princeton decided to slightly roll back its policy on giving no more than 35% of grades out as A's, because students were complaining about exactly this, that their GPAs were lower than, say, their competitors from other elite schools, and that was harming their chances to get into grad schools or jobs or other programs.
I think that is a very active concern among students. We don't provide any empirical evidence on this in this paper. We have looked informally at some data on student satisfaction with their education at Wellesley College, with alumni giving, medical school admissions, things like that. We haven't found strong evidence. But it is an open question, and I think probably this question of unilateral disarmament is a significant challenge. I think there's some other issues with sort of the system that Princeton has, where you mandate a certain grade distribution that goes, I think, beyond the unilateral disarmament. I think students, college students these days, they do not want to be told that they're getting a grade that is either, you know, they're not getting an A because there's only so many A's that can be given out, or that they're getting a C because so many C's have to be given out. I think a policy like Wellesley's, which doesn't sort of mandate a particular distribution, tends to be more accepted by today's college student than a mandated grade distribution. But I do agree that the concern about unilateral disarmament exists.
Well, we're going to talk about that more in just a second. But let me bring into the conversation William Derezowitz. He's a former professor at Yale and author of the book Excellent Sheep, Miseducation of the American Elite and the Way to a Meaningful Life. Bill Derezowitz, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about grade inflation and sort of its effect on what the purpose of a higher education, especially at some of these elite schools that we've been talking about, is. I mean, when the most common grade at places like, you know, Yale, where you taught, Princeton, Harvard, is an A, I mean, what are we actually measuring in students?
Yeah, that's a good question. Or what kind of student is the college trying to produce? How does it relate to its students? I mean, there's, first of all, I find this fascinating, and I think the study is fascinating, and I'm so glad that Wellesley's tried to do this. But there's a larger historical context. Grade inflation has been going on since the 60s. It leveled off in the 70s, late 70s and 80s. It's been soaring again. And especially that second rise since 1990 clearly seems related to a big change in the way colleges and universities relate to their students. They now have a customer service mentality. And as you know, the customer is always right, and you're supposed to keep the customer happy. And it's quite telling in that respect that grade inflation is much worse at private colleges than at public ones, and worse still at elite private colleges, where A, people are paying a lot of money and feel that they deserve an A in return, and B, it's full of kids who've always gotten A's, who always expect to do well, who increasingly are going to college because they want to be passed up to the next level of the elite hierarchy. You know, I want to go to law school. I want to work for Goldman Sachs. Don't screw this up for me. That's a very big factor here. And this issue of, you know, unilateral disarmament obviously plays into it.
Mm. Well, so do you think, though, that even sort of the softer changes that Wellesley had introduced 10 years ago goes some way to changing that culture on especially elite campuses? Or do the expectations of students, they don't change necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously can't speak to what may have happened at Wellesley. I doubt that it would change the culture. I doubt very much, because there's a lot that's playing into it. I think it would be great if colleges pushed back against this culture of nothing but credentialism, that you're here for professional training and nothing else, no sense of academic rigor or intellectual exploration. It would be great if they started to do that, and pushing back against grade inflation could definitely be one way to do it.
Mm. Now, in The Economist, I read an interesting article that was talking about this Wellesley study, and the writer in The Economist said, hey, maybe this is a good idea, because by changing the way students are evaluated, it might actually encourage students to pick majors that they find intrinsically rewarding rather than the ones that will get them the highest grades. Do you think that's a possibility on college campuses today, Bill Derezowitz?
I would like to believe that it's possible, but actually, I'm not sure that's even happening. I mean, the professor says that there is a move at Wellesley away from the humanities to economics. I actually question whether that was driven by the change in the grading policy, only because it's happened everywhere on a massive scale, not just in the last 10 years, but at least the last 20 years. If the humanities grade more easily, why aren't more people taking humanities courses? Well, because they're mainly choosing their major because they think it's what's practical. I'm not sure they're right that it's what's practical, and I'm not sure that practicality should be the only goal. In fact, I'm quite sure that it shouldn't. But I don't actually think that it would work that way, although it sounds like it ought to.
Mm. Akhila Weerapana, your thoughts on that?
I do think that Bill's right in the sense that there has been these broader trends, and we do our best to try and control for some of those trends in our findings. And grades do act as signals to students about their academic performance. And one of the concerns is that when you have high grades, you're distorting that signal. You're telling students your talents, you know, are in this area and not in this other one. And we also have research that shows, particularly for women, I think, that if the grade that they receive in their initial course in particularly quantitative fields tends to influence their decisions to continue on, right, in those fields. So you get a B+ in your economics class and you get an A- in another department, that might sort of tilt you away from majoring in one area, right, and towards the other. So one of our themes that we emphasize here is that we want to get the signal right as a college, and then, you know, then we can focus on where are students majoring and what can we do to sort of tackle these broader trends of credentialism or choosing a major for its practicality rather than its right. intellectual worth.
We just have a minute or so to go, and I want to throw one last question to both of you, because we've been discussing sort of the impact of this policy on campus, but I wanted to talk about what grade inflation means to the rest of the world at large, because, you know, for those of us outside of the college campus, how, for as long as the majority of the grades given out are A's or A-minuses, how are we really to accurately assess who are the best of the best coming out of these elite schools when everyone, on paper at least, is above average? Akila?
It is a big problem, and people talk about sort of more narrative evaluation system, but those of us who've been reading letters of recommendation know that there's been inflation in those narrative instruments as well. So one of the things I tell my students is, you know, you have to, in the end, you have to convince people that you can do a good job for them by the work that you do. And so the real pressure here is the entry-level position, and that's where this credentialism, I think, becomes a big factor.
Bill Derezowitz, the last thought goes to you.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think maybe employers are making distinctions based on very small numerical differences that don't mean very much. Mm-hmm. I don't see why it shouldn't be possible to just give one simple number. Here's one additional number. Here's your GPA, and here's where you place within the curve. You know, are you at the 90th percentile, at the 50th percentile? This might help employers figure out what does it mean to say you have a 3.7 GPA.
Well, William Derezowitz is author of Excellent Sheep, Miseducation of the American Elite and the Way to a Meaningful Life. Bill Derezowitz, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
And Akila Wirapana, professor of economics at Wellesley College and co-author of this fascinating new paper, The Effects of an Anti-Grade Inflation Policy at Wellesley College. It was in the Journal of Economic Perspectives. Professor Wirapana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, let us know what you think about grade inflation on college campuses and what, if anything, we ought to do about it. Comment at radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.